Welcome to Preach the Word, brought to you by the Yucaipa Church of Christ, located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. The Yucaipa Church of Christ website is yucaipachurchofchrist.com. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes at 9:30 a.m. and worship assembly at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening assembly, 5 p.m. Wednesday night Bible study is at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.
We want to welcome you to our program today. The program is entitled Preach the Word. I'm the minister at the Yucaipa Church of Christ, and I welcome you. Today's lesson is entitled A Well-Built House. And I'd like to share with you, as we open, Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord and do not what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock, and when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house, and it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built his house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus compared a person who hears his words and acts on them with a man who indeed dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock and then built a house that could withstand flood and torrent and not be shaken because it was well built. How does our house compare to such a well-built house? Can we withstand the blows of this life? Are we established on the foundation of the rock? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. Now, if you back up in this chapter to verse 16, you have Peter's answer to the question that Jesus asked his disciples directly, Who do you say that I am? His answer is, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is the rock upon which he will build his church in that particular text, and of course goes on to do exactly that. Yet we still wonder about the ability for God's will to establish us. And when we do, we only have to look at Romans chapter 16. In this magnificent text that the Apostle Paul was inspired to write, he talks about exactly this particular situation. When in verses 25 through 27 of Romans 16, he writes, Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Christ Jesus, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past and is now manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. So in answer, yes, indeed, the gospel can establish us in our faith. How does our house compare to the well-built house, though? Well, let's check on our construction of our own lives and begin by considering the foundation upon which those lives are built. Jesus taught about the foundation of the rock, but also the foundation of sand. And he does this in the book of Matthew, in chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, when he said, Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, And the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We can see what Jesus is talking about. We can understand what a beautiful illustration this is of one's life. But we also need to consider that the foundation that can withstand life's blows, life's storms, is built on the rock who is Jesus Christ. Now I want to take you to the book of Acts, and I want you to consider something with me and think about it. In this particular chapter, this is chapter 4 of Acts, the apostles are on trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin, their high ruling council. And they're very upset about the preaching that has been done in the name of Jesus. And so they're warning them not to continue doing this any longer. Yet something has happened. In chapter 3 of Acts, before this, they have received the power from God, miraculously, to heal a man who has been lame his entire life, well over 40 years. In fact, it's been so bad for him that he's either dragged himself from place to place, or if someone was generous enough to do it, they could pick him up and move him from place to place. But he could absolutely not use his legs. Yet when he was healed by the power of God through the Holy Spirit, this man not only walked, but he leaped with joy, something he did instantaneously, because God's power, of course, could accomplish that. So when they're on trial before the Sanhedrin, here in chapter 4 of Acts, note with me verses 10 and 11. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone, they said in reference to Jesus. And once again, recognizing him as the chief cornerstone helps us to again focus on the foundation that Jesus is. Do you know something was revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, that many people perhaps are not aware of? And that is the rock that followed Israel in the days of Moses. That rock is Christ. So even going that far back, we're thinking of Jesus as the rock. The foundation of sand, though, is anything that men attempt to build their lives on that will not support them in life's difficult circumstances, and certainly will not allow them to face the judgment of God as that person who builds their life upon the rock. In fact, it's referenced as a ground without any foundation, Luke chapter 6, verse 49. Remember, Jesus is here giving the illustration of a person who hears and acts on his word. This person is founded on him, and he indeed is their rock. But now I'd like to turn our attention to the rain, the floods, and the winds. Ladies and gentlemen, life can get so tough, and so much can come up against us that we have absolutely no awareness or preparation for. None. It could be a financial blow. It could be an emotional blow. Or a blindsiding blow that can completely sidetrack us and derail any forward progress we have made to date. I want you to consider with me a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples that is recorded in Luke chapter 22. And it is not long before he will end up being arrested, come before the Sanhedrin, then, of course, before Pilate and also King Herod, and that before he's crucified. But notice with me this particular conversation, and it's in Luke chapter 22, and we start with verse 28. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, isn't that forward progress? Wouldn't we immediately recognize that on behalf of the disciples? But he goes on. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. But he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And he, Jesus, said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied 3 times that you know me. Yes, in a very similar fashion, we can have the rug pulled out from under us. We can be blindsided by life's trials and difficult circumstances. Just as a flood can overwhelm and destroy the structure that has not been properly secured to its foundation, so too can life's hard hits overwhelm a life without being securely anchored through hope in our Lord Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, we are given tremendous positive encouragement. And it's contained in chapter 6 of Hebrews. And it starts in verse 17 through the end of the chapter. In the same way, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, that by 2 unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement, to take hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. What beautiful encouragement, hope that is anchored, not simply there, but hope that is anchored securely within the veil where Jesus is gone. How beautiful and profound is this magnificent statement. Regarding our foundation in Jesus, please understand it is solidly based on the teaching of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And this comes to us by way of Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So let's consider that together now. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built or being built, excuse me, together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, just a few weeks ago, we talked about this. We talked about the Holy Spirit indwelling those who have magnificently obeyed the will of God and been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and for salvation. We went to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And note there, as the Apostle Paul revealed through inspiration, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We also looked at Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, that talks about the Spirit indwelling us and at the same time identifying the Spirit as Christ indwelling us and God indwelling us as well. So this explains to us, of course, here in Ephesians chapter 2, that this magnificent foundation upon which we build our lives and upon which we go forward in serving the Lord, this, of course, is backed up with the magnificent testimony of the apostles and the prophets recorded in God's Word. Let me say this, and let's think about this together. No rain, no flood, and no wind can move us away from our Lord Jesus if we depend on Him every moment of our existence, and this applies to our youth and to our aged as well. What I want to share with you is John chapter 6. And let's travel to the very last part of this chapter. Again, John chapter 6. And I want to focus with you on verses 66 through 69 of John 6. Jesus, just before this, has talked about how one must partake of his body and his blood. And of course, what he's referencing is what will be recognized after he rises from the dead. But even before, actually, he dies upon the cross, he will institute the Lord's Supper as he does in the 26th chapter of Matthew. And that will be done after they observe the Passover. So this is what he's looking ahead to. There were disciples at that point with Jesus that couldn't understand that. They were perhaps completely confused at what he was saying. So note the outcome. Again, John 6, starting with 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God." No wonder then, Jesus could say, "I say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it." Of course, what Jesus is talking about there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, is not only building his church, but the fact that death itself, that he will certainly face upon the cross, will not keep him from establishing his church. As we know, he rose on the third day, exactly as he had told his disciples would be the case, and then, of course, manifested himself as alive over that 40-day period, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And as Paul describes it, when he lists some resurrection appearances in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and following, he talks about Jesus appearing to above more than 500 brothers at one time. Stop and think about that. That would eliminate just a few people being confused, or just a few people being deluged and certainly disillusioned in their understanding. No, when you appear above more than 500 brothers at one time, then there's no doubt that Jesus clearly had risen from the dead. Perhaps we're even thinking about Jesus manifesting himself before his disciples after he rose from the dead and showing them the imprint of the nails and the cut in his side. In fact, having them actually put their fingers into the imprint of the nails and their hand into his side. That's contained in the 20th chapter of John. And what's amazing in that particular context is that, well, Thomas isn't there. And he tells them when they come to him and tell him what Jesus has done in manifesting himself before them and showing him the marks of the crucifixion in the body that he was walking around in. He said he would not believe it unless he himself saw it. And then, of course, once he did, he said, "My Lord and my God." Yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. There's no doubt about it. And everything that he did was preparing in that direction. His crucifixion, his burial, and then his resurrection on the third day. So powerful. Did he earn the right to be our chief cornerstone? Make no mistake. Can indeed our lives, built on Jesus, endure all of the things that life can bring against us? Yes. I know sometimes things get rough, really, really tough. And maybe it's not just one thing, maybe it's a multitude of things that we're having to face. But Jesus can get us through every single one of them. Doesn't matter how severe they are, he can get us through them. And in order to bring this home to you, one thing I want to share with you is the faith of our Lord. You know, I know we struggle with faith. Sometimes our faith is very strong. Other times, it seems to have lost its potential, kind of fallen by the wayside, or at least been put on the back burner in our minds and our lives. But understand, God and our Lord are always faithful. And because they're always faithful, then we can absolutely depend upon them to help us through these rough circumstances of our lives. For example, our Lord is faithful, and because of this, he will strengthen us and protect us from the evil one, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. You know, so often we deal with weakness, So what God is going to do in this text is strengthen us, and certainly strengthen our resolve to continue on and to keep following Him. And then, of course, He's going to protect us from the evil one, because He knows He's the only one that can. And we so depend upon Him for that. Another place we read about the faithfulness of God is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says that our faithful God has called us into fellowship with His Son, Jesus. That's why we can have fellowship with the Son, because God, who is faithful, has called us. Once again, can we endure life's difficult circumstances, the blows that come against us? Absolutely we can. And we must never lose sight of that. Not ever. Again, we need to dwell upon Him in every moment of our existence from this day forward. What's in the past is past. There's nothing we can do about it. So we have to be concerned about the quality of our life from this moment forward, and learn to depend upon our God through His Son every moment of what remains of our existence. And then there's another passage I want you to consider with me. This is one that I think many would be a little more familiar with, because it has to do with temptation. And I know we consider temptation a formidable obstacle every time it comes. But what we're taught is, our faithful God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He will, with every temptation, provide also the way to escape, that we might be able to endure it. And this comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And I don't know about you, but I rely upon that. I know the devil's working hard every day to tempt us and pull us away from God. You see, what he's seeking is our detriment, fully and completely. He wants us to be separated from God throughout all eternity. Well, we can fight that. We can fight that because God is on our side, because God is faithful, because God has given us Jesus, and we can depend upon Him every single day, no matter what, no matter how difficult the struggle, no matter how difficult the temptation. It doesn't matter. We can endure. Why? Because we are blessed with a well-built house, I should say. And of course, what is that about? That's about the lives that we're leading, you and I, each and every day. The lives that are indeed dependent upon God, and God wants them to be dependent upon Him. He's not pushing us away. He's not saying, I don't have time for you. I've got all of these other things to take care of. The original multitasker, that's God Almighty through Jesus Christ. And absolutely depend on that, and absolutely know that all of that is absolutely real. Please remember that this is the inspired Word of God that we're having the opportunity to look at in this series called Preach the Word. That's where we're going, to understand what the truth is and what God wants us to know in order to be successful in the lives that we lead. You know, too many blame God when something bad happens in their life. They believe it's His responsibility, and that's the first person they're going to blame for whatever they've gone through, because they can't seem to harmonize in their mind that if God is all-powerful, that if God is all-knowing and all-seeing, that He would allow anything detrimental to happen. Please understand, it's not God. It's the devil working against us. God is there supporting us. God is there building us up. He wants our faith to be strong and secure. Yes, He's well aware problems can happen, but that's why we need to turn to God to be able to endure all of these difficult circumstances. And if we do, and if our life is founded on the rock, Jesus Christ, then no, we'll be able to endure no matter what it is that comes against us. You see how important it was for Jesus to share with us and talk to us not only about the house, but even more importantly, the foundation upon which it's built. We can depend upon our Lord. I want you to know that each and every day. And don't forget to pray to God and know that He will be there listening. Thank you.
You've been listening to Preach the Word, brought to you by the Yucaipa Church of Christ, located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. The Yucaipa Church website address is yucaipachurchofchrist.com, and assembly times are Sunday morning classes at 9:30 a.m. and worship assembly at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening assembly, 5 p.m. Wednesday night Bible study is at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.